Yesterday we celebrated the wonderful feast of St. Mary Magdalene, and in the collect of her Mass we prayed, May we be aided, we beseech thee, O Lord, by the intercession of Blessed Mary Magdalene, in answer to whose prayers thou didst raise to life her brother Lazarus, 4 days dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I thought I would speak to you, even though it's not her feast day, on this really incredibly great saint, St. Mary Magdalene. Did you know that our Lord once appeared to the great visionary St. Mechtilda and told her, three saints have been more pleasing to me than all the others? And he continued, first, Mary, my mother, second, John the Baptist, and thirdly, St. Mary Magdalene. This shouldn't really be a surprise for any of us when we really stop to think about it. For when our Lord appeared in this earth, in his human nature, all of Israel was expecting him. But they were expecting from him that he was some sort of Messiah to restore the kingdom of Israel and to bring back their economy and the like. All of them, even the apostles, even St. John the evangelist, who's known as the beloved disciple, all of them looked in one way or another to receive some sort of honor or privilege or dignity in our Lord's kingdom, some first place to be held for themselves. But it was Mary Magdalene who was the first to approach our Lord, not for dignities or rewards or honors, but simply for himself and himself alone. If there was, however, anything else that Mary Magdalene wanted, it was this: the pardon of her sins. We all know what a sinful life she lived. And love. And she found both of these things at the feet of the Messiah, who is so worn out by the search of his little lost sheep. Now, from the time of her conversion, she was always at our Lord's disposal, always, because saints never give themselves in halves. It's all or nothing for a saint. She belonged from the moment of her conversion, totally and without reserve, to God in his service. And he, on his side, accepted the offering. And for the rest of Magdalene's earthly life, she sat at the feet of Christ, contemplating his life, listening to every word of salvation that fell from his sacred lips as he preached his true kingdom, the church or heaven. But the Pharisees, we'll see this in a little bit, the Pharisees complained about her whenever they found her at our Lord's feet. Martha did the same thing. Her very own sister complained about her. And so did Judas. Believe it or not, he of all people should have been the one to excuse, because he was such a sinner in the end. But he, too, found fault with Mary Magdalene. And Mary never said a word in defense of herself. If you notice in the Gospels, however, our Lord, every time that someone said something against Magdalene, our Lord came to her defense. It was as if, one author said, his sacred heart were hurt by the least word spoken against her. So truly, she was one of his favorite saints. St. Albert the Great has a beautiful quote. Just as in material creation, God has made two lights, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, so in the world of grace, he made two Marys, namely Mary, the mother of our Lord, and Mary, the sister of Lazarus. The Blessed Virgin Mary, to rule the day of innocence, and Mary Magdalene the penitent to rule the night by enlightening repentant sinners. But St. Mary Magdalene is the queen of penitents. In fact, if you look in your missal and at the title, what she's called by, she is not an apostle, a confessor, a virgin, a widow, a doctor, or a martyr. She is none of these things. The title you will find is penitent. And that is how the church refers to her, and it is the way that we ought to remember her. So beautiful in the eyes of God is penitence, that he is pleased that she should be remembered by this title, which continuously shows every generation of Catholics the story of the sins of Magdalene on the one hand and the mercy of God on the other. She is a source of hope to the sinner. After her conversion, which took place in the house of Simon the Pharisee, remember that scene? Here they all were at dinner, eating a meal, and to be sure, our Lord was speaking on spiritual topics, elevating the conversation, keeping it going. And all of a sudden, Magdalene, who's out in the village, out in the streets, she knows that our Lord is there, and she, without any human respect, without worrying about what people will think of her or do to her or say about her, none of those things crossed her mind. With a great boldness, a holy boldness, she burst into a stranger's house and she threw herself at the feet of God. And she bathed these feet with her tears and wiped them clean with her hair and smothered those feet in kisses. And Simon says, rather he didn't say, he was thinking, if only this man, if he were a prophet, knew what type of woman this is, surely he would tell her to leave. And our Lord, showing his divinity, read the thoughts of Simon and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Something to say to you. And went into talking about debtors, and if one is forgiven more than another, who do you think loves more? And he answered the question. Then turning to the woman, Magdalene, he said, many sins have been forgiven her because she has loved much. But after this conversion, Magdalene grew in charity, love, prayer, and contemplation to such heights that after Our Lady, St. Mary Magdalene may be said to be the holiest of all the women in the church. Of all the saints, after Our Lady, she is the best. But upon her conversion, our Lord didn't even try to hide his joy at this conversion. And she would, from then on, match her love with his by giving her all. One other author said, he, our Lord, would pour himself out for love of man, and she would pour herself out in the love of God. Now, after the meeting with Jesus in the house of Simon the Pharisee, then she went on to attach herself to the number of holy women who followed our Lord and the apostles throughout his travels in Galilee and Jerusalem. And so for 2 years, she heard all of his sermons and ministered to him and to his apostles. And after this, there was a second time now when Mary Magdalene anointed the feet of Christ. This time it was another Simon the leper. His house was in Bethany, very close to the home of St. Mary Magdalene's. But this time the anointing was done in order to comfort our Lord, to console him who would soon be hung on the cross. It was only 6 days from the Passion, A dinner was prepared to honor our Lord. Martha, as usual, was going about in the kitchen fixing the dinner. Lazarus, who had already been raised from the dead, was seated at table. And Mary comes in again with precious ointment and just dumps it all out on our Lord's head, which was to be crowned with thorns. And then she wiped with her hair the dust from his feet that would soon be nailed to the cross. And after the anointing, she kissed them. And Judas was on the scene. You can imagine it, that avaricious heart that exists in him. You can almost see him very annoyed at this part. Why wasn't this ointment sold and then the money given to the poor? But St. John makes it a point in his gospel, in this case, to mention that Judas didn't care about the poor, as if to say it was all about the bucks, the money. And our Lord then turned and said, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always. For she, in pouring this ointment upon my body, hath done it for my burial. Amen, I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, that also which she hath done shall be told for a memory of her." See how he came to the defense of his dear saint. But Magdalene followed our Lord furthermore through each step of his passion. She was at his side on the way to Calvary at every possible moment. She stood by the cross of our Lord, along with the Blessed Virgin Mary and Mary of Cleophas and St. John the Apostle. And for 3 agonizing hours, she knelt there again at our Lord's feet. She was always there. And it is said that the blood, when it fell from the wounds in the body of our Savior, came down drop by drop onto Magdalene's hair. And that his death was her martyrdom. And then she followed him to his grave. And you know the story. At sunset on Holy Saturday, she went out to buy spices so as to anoint his body just one last time. And you know how it went. The first Easter Sunday morning, she ran there to find an empty tomb. And filled with grief, she ran back to the apostles to tell them that our Lord is gone. He is no longer there. And this, by the way, is why we have a creed during the Mass of St. Mary Magdalene. Aside from the Blessed Virgin Mary, no other female saint has a creed read in her Mass. And this is why. Because she on this occasion was an apostle to the apostles. She is the one who discovered the resurrection. She is the one who set the apostles in motion to preach this great proof of our holy religion. Later on, she was present at the Ascension and in the cenacle awaiting the Holy Ghost, but we have no time for these things. I want to tell you the one last story about what happened to her. Some 14 years after the death of our Lord, it was during a persecution waged by the Jews in Palestine. She, along with her brother Lazarus and sister Martha and several other Christians, they were placed on a boat with no sails, no oars, nothing. They were placed on a boat and sent out to sea with no guidance. But the providence of God was with them, and it caused that boat to drift to the mouth of the Rhone River in France. And then they all went their separate ways. Martha went, and she became known all over for her charitable deeds. Lazarus became a bishop, and Mary Magdalene went into a cave in France to live the remaining 30 years of her life in pure contemplation. No contact with people, no running water, no trees or herbs. But every day, 7 times a day, the angels would descend from heaven, and carry her body up into to the air so that she could hear the heavenly choirs of angels singing the hymns and praising God. Now, two lessons I think you can draw from this great saint. The first is from our Lord's words. Many sins have been forgiven her because she has loved much. What consoling words. And to know that they can apply to you as well. Many sins are forgiven us if we love much. If we love God, we will repent all the more strongly of our sins because we don't ever want to offend one that we love. And if we love, we will not only repent, but we will go on to practice stronger virtue. And if we love and we practice virtue, we'll become great saints who love God with all their heart. But the second lesson is a very simple one too. The power of this saint's intercession. Notice again the scene. Lazarus is dead. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha runs out to our Lord and tells our Lord what's going on. And our Lord doesn't do anything. Magdalene enters the picture and says almost the identically same thing. And then it forces him, as it were, to go to the tomb. And he raised the brother Lazarus from the dead. But it was at the request, the prayer of Mary Magdalene. So whether you're praying for some grace for yourself, or whether you're praying for some spiritual resurrection from sin of a loved one, Mary Magdalene is your saint. Go to her, and go to her with great confidence for all of your needs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.